Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Even when You know, I heard that God is an on-time God. You ever hear that? God is an on-time God. I've not found that to be true. God is regularly late with everything I ask for, it seems. And I'm going to tell you a story about that that's in the Bible. I'm in John chapter 11, but you see, I'm going to jump around to various different verses. When you see us do that, I want you to go home and read that whole chapter for yourself, because I want you to keep us honest. Sometimes people jump around in the book and skip over important things. So if you keep us honest, you keep other people honest. Amen? Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And they're talking about Lazarus. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death." Now, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was about two more days. Then on his arrival, Jesus found out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." Some people say God is an on-time God, but he was at least 4 days late here, wasn't he? Jesus said, "It's not going to end in death. He's dead in the ground with a rock rolled in front of where we put him." Everybody look at that and say, "Jesus, you were too late to do something about it." If you had been there, that's what you would have said. If I was there, that's what I would have said. We're not talking about have faith. We're talking about he's dead, period, the end. Now, the next part of this story is that Jesus tells the people to roll the rock away, which is just adding insult to injury. And they rolled the rock away, and Jesus said, "Now, Lazarus, come out and tell these people I'm Jesus, and I can do anything I want, whenever I want. It happens however I want it to happen." And then Lazarus came walking out. See, this is the problem that I'm stuck in, is if you say that Jesus came there at just the right time to send just the right message, I think you'd have a point. That's exactly what Jesus said about that situation. But if you ask me, I think it would have been a whole lot more convenient for you to have gotten here sooner, and we'd have less drama going on here. See, the problem is none of us wants to go through those faith-building circumstances that build perseverance up in us. We just want it fixed now, not later, now. If I say to you, a great financial blessing is to arrive to you, and that money will no longer be a problem in your life when the money comes to you, the next words out of your mouth is, "When?" I said, no, you don't have to worry about it, because it'll all be solved and you won't have any, from now on, you don't need to worry about it. You can just count it like it's happening now, because it definitely will happen. Yeah, but when? See, when to us makes a whole difference. It doesn't matter whether it will work or whether it won't. I want to have it right now. Let me ask you a question. Think of somebody else, not you, somebody else. That has problems, has struggles, has issues, and things are going wrong in their life. Now, for that person that you're imagining, how much of that is bad luck, and how much of that is a problem that person has where they keep generating troubles? It's a lot of the second, isn't it? Okay, what that means is I need to say, "God, fix me," instead of, "God, fix all my circumstances." You know, it's an old saying, but it's true. A blessing that you're not ready for is really just a curse. Now you say, "Well, that sounds ridiculous." If I say to you, you know, if you're not ready to win the lottery, I hope it never happens to you. You say, "Hey, no, wait, what? I'll get ready. Let me have the money. I'll take on the challenge. I'm not afraid to take on the big obstacles here. Let's do that. But the truth is, if we're not ready for that blessing, we're going to end up making a mess of it. And some of us have already done that. Some of us have had our opportunities. We've had our blessings. We made a big old mess of that situation. Now we're trying to learn from that. We're trying to regroup from that as we move forward. But we're so greedy to get back into those blessings because we think it's about the open door and it's not about me. But the truth is, it is about you. God's doing a work in you, and God is doing an amazing work in you, a beautiful work. And the fact that it's taking a little bit of time isn't a bad thing. Not from God's point of view, not from my point of view, not from anybody's point of view. It's good that God is working in you. It's good that it takes a little while. It's good that He's preparing you for the blessing that's definitely going to come. We don't want any of that. We want the hookup. That's what we want. Okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe only I want the hookup of all the people in the room. Because no one said amen when I said we only want to hook up. No, Glenn, it's all you. Can we be a little... Are we as suspicious of the hookup as we should be? Because I see a lot of brothers get out of jail, get the hookup, and it's like, these guys really love me. It's like, no, dude, that's business. They give you that, they expect something in return. That's how. Did they put any money on your books this whole time? No? Well, then we just figured it out, didn't we? Do the math. But we have that sense that we're looking for that hookup so much that we lower our guard. We're not quite as suspicious of it. We have to ask, is the hookup worth the price? See, we get caught up in this system, don't we, of a favor for a favor. And the thing about that, and there's nothing wrong with it, that's how the world works. You know, that's, you know, if I go to the grocery store, they're not giving me those groceries because they like my face. I put the money down on the counter and then they give me the groceries and it's an even fair trade. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But that's not love. This isn't partnership. They aren't being loyal to me. And I'm not being loyal to them, because that's what this person is talking about, being loyal to God. This is not a favor for a favor. Doesn't have anything to do with loyalty. If I stop doing you favors and you stop doing me favors, that means there never was any loyalty. Loyalty only kicks in when times get hard, when the going gets rough. That's when loyalty starts to happen. The faith that you have in God, the belief in you have in God, that only comes to the surface when you have no reason to believe in God, when there's no hope on the horizon, when everything looks like there's no possible way it's going to work out. You got the Pharaoh's army behind you and the Red Sea in front of you, and this is it, God. There's a point where we have to say, either I'm going to have faith and I'm going to count on God, or I'm going to wait for the hookup and not be suspicious about it. Also, can we say this? God's storeroom is open, isn't it? I mean, why do you want the money, really? Because, you know, if I had the money, I'd be happy, right? They say money can't buy happiness, but, you know, if you have enough, it takes an edge off the misery quite a little bit. Right? Okay, y'all trying to act holy in here, forget it. You know what I'm talking about. See, I say, Lord, give me a pile. I don't need a big pile of money, just this tall. I don't want to be greedy, just give me some money, and then I'd be happy, Lord. And the Lord says, how about I give you joy right now? Say, but I'd still be poor, right? Yes, you'd be poor, but you wouldn't mind because you'd have joy. So, I don't want that. That's crazy. You talk about crazy stuff. I would be a crazy person to just be at peace and have joy. And all my blessings are going to happen whenever they happen, and it's all in God's hands, and I just have peace about it. That's crazy. Give me this now, then I'll be happy, then I'll pray for whatever. That's the system that we're all trying to hook up with God. And God's trying to tell us, no. No, that's not how I want to see this happen at all. Also, can I ask another question? Is there a chance, because you say that the doors are closed. That's what this brother is saying. The doors are closed. Is there a chance that God wants you to go through a different door? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we get fixated on this is the one way to move forward, and there isn't any other option we can get where we're going. Sometimes we get our heart set on one thing working out. If that one thing doesn't work out, we find ourselves slipping and sliding all over the place. Now, God's got an open door for you, but it just may not be the one that you're looking to go through. Bottom line on all this, bottom line. Jesus said, I want to explain to you what happens when you mess up. Because that's what we all want to know. When we mess up, what does God think? And Jesus explained it, and I'm convinced almost no one has understood what he was saying yet. So we're going to try and understand it, just you and me right here tonight. Jesus said, when you mess up, it's like this story that I'm going to tell you to illustrate what happens. What does God think and what happens with you in the whole situation when you mess up? He said, it's like a son who goes to the father and says, give me money. You got money, give me my money. I want to have money, give me my, and I know I'll inherit it one day when you die. I don't want it one day, I want it now, give me now. And he took that money and he went away and he, you know what happened. And then he found a magical thing. When his money ran out, his friends ran out. So he finds himself feeding pigs, and he's looking at the food that he's feeding the pigs, and he says, this is starting to look delicious to me. This is a low circumstance because a pig will eat anything. Okay. So he's looking at that situation, and he says to himself, in my father's house, the hired hands are treated better than this. The people we just hire on to just do this and that are treated better than I'm being treated right now. If I go back to my father, maybe he'll let me be one of those hired hands. Maybe he'll let me just be the lowest of the lowest of the low. And, I might be eating food a little better than this, but at least he'll be better. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to say that to the father. So he goes home and he says, let's read it. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's what that's what the son says to the father. You want to know what the father said to that? Nothing. The father did not say anything to that. He turned to the guy next to him. He says, bring some slippers for his feet. Bring a robe for his back. Bring a ring for his finger. Kill that fatted calf. Start cooking this food. Set up the party. My son was lost. Now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive again. It's about to be a party. He didn't even acknowledge what the son was saying. The son is saying, I'll be the lowest of the low. I'll just be somebody that you throw a little off to the side, and I'll just take that. God says no to that. That's what you're looking. Let me just have a little of this, and let me just get a little off to the side. Just I won't bother you. I just want to. And God's saying, no. I'll receive you as my son. I'll take you in my house. I'll celebrate. that you're back with me. But no, I will not let you be one of my hired servants. No, I will not let you come back in under the pretense of just getting by and just having enough and living where you beat yourself up for all the things that you've done wrong. No, I'll receive you as my son. That's what God's saying to you. And he says, that's how I treat each and every one of you when you do wrong. Amen? We love you. God bless you.